I would like to think about what the Lord has done for us. He has revealed Himself to us. He's made Himself known. We need that desperately in life. We are lost without what God, without His revelation. We need that. You know, if we can try to go through life in our own ways, and we will make a failure of it. Do you know God gave us the law for a purpose? One place it's described in this way, that He gave us the law that sin would appear exceedingly sinful. You know, it's a blessing for us to realize some things are wrong. Think of this. I've heard cases where a person was unable to feel pain. And you may think that's a blessing, but it's really not. Think of what happens if you don't feel pain. You can damage yourself and you don't know it. I heard a fellow that he drove a nail through his part of his hand, wasn't able to feel pain, and didn't realize it was trying to pull his hand away. He had gloves on. Driving a nail. Stuck it down through there and pulled his hand back. I was going to drive it the rest of the way, and it was stuck through his finger. We need to have some understanding, some faith. And God lets us know that sin is exceedingly sinful. The reason why is because sin hurts. It damages. It's very destructive to mankind. So the Lord gave us the law so that sin would seem exceedingly sinful, that we'd recognize the damage of it. I thought in this message here this afternoon, what I have on my heart, I have written down here very important things that God wants us to know. One of them is without God we are condemned sinners. We're in trouble. And that's everybody. Without God, we are in desperate trouble. With God and His mercy, He's allowed us to see what sin does. In this society that we live in today, folks, we have a society that's desperately trying to excuse sin. Trying to use all manner of human reasoning to excuse things that are wrong. And the reason why is because they don't like to feel guilty. When humans have taken good scripture, it's a good scripture when Jesus said to judge not, that you be not judged. That's a good scripture. But generally today that scripture is used by people who don't want to feel guilty, who don't want anybody else to make them feel condemned. Whether it be by word or by action. And you and I, simply by living a godly life in front of the world, it brings a certain amount of condemnation. And they don't like to feel that. So there's all kinds of human reasoning going out in the world today trying to excuse. And I've been amazed at what extent that this generation has went to try to excuse things that in past generations has been widely accepted, easily, clearly understood as being wrong. But there have been all kinds of things that the devil is trying to cause people to excuse. And not only excuse, but to almost put a good connotation on it. Morally good connotation. Well, it's very important for us to know where the boundaries are. Where truth is, where right is. So I would like for us to look over in Romans, the 3rd chapter. We'll pick up a little bit here. Romans 3. Look down here in the 23rd verse. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, That's the condition of mankind. That's where humans find themselves today. Without God, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody, I don't care how good we feel like we have done in life, how well I have disciplined myself, how justified I feel in my mind, the things, the way I've allowed my mind to think, don't care how well we have ordered our life. Without God, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. Turned everyone to his own way. The rest of that verse goes on to give us hope. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. But the first, before we can come to that point where we bring ourselves to the Lord, we have to realize our need. And it's not always just sin. Sometimes we as humans, we have a certain sense of self-reliance, self-sufficiency. And maybe you're not like me, but then again, maybe you are. I have generally a personal feeling that I handle life. Some difficulties come my way. I'm not interested. I try not to bother other people with it. I just get a hold and deal with it. I suppose there's a certain good in that. But that can be taken to the point that we become self-reliant. And the fact is, we need God. God help us all to learn in our times of need that we humble ourselves to the point that not only do we turn to God, but a lot of times our brothers and sisters, there's reasons why God put us in a family of God. Neglect not this assembling of yourself together. It's important that we are here with one another. It's important that we care about one another. It's important that our love, that the heart ties begin to grow and we're bound to one another. 1,000 cords our hearts entwine, you see. We have experiences together. And when you're going through your problem and I'm going through mine, then we have a greater understanding of one another, a greater care for one another. It's important. Because God wants us to not be little individuals all scattered about, but He wants us to be a body, connected together. Remember the first part of this meeting where we talked about the power, the individuals that the Lord brings together, connects. Remember, maybe a little, think about a series circuit. We think of how we're all connected one to the other. It's all the same power source. We have the same access, the same amount of power. And God wants you and I, when we come together, He wants us to be connected to the point that we are in here in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. And when our lights come together, it unites like a bonfire at Monarch. God help us to be connected to that. Individuals connected to God and connected to one another. And this light that we have here at Monarch. He said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's just a fact. None of us are good enough in ourselves or our own abilities to be able to claim any kind of justification. Again, I go back, we can't order our lives well enough. We don't have enough willpower to be able to order ourselves in a way that is godliness. Godliness comes through humility when we submit ourselves to the mighty hand of God and allow Him to work and dwell, live out His life in us. It's very important for God wants us to know this. Excuse me, I'm got a cough, tickle in my throat. If you pray though, we'll be able to get the thoughts out. Another very important thing that I believe the Lord would have us to know is in Christ there's salvation. When you recognize the destruction of sin, I want to tell you, it's been my experience, my personal knowledge, personal experience, that sin is degrading and destructive. I thought the other day, about inviting you all to a birthday party. I've got a birthday this Monarch, y'all. You know that? Got a birthday. 1978, I was born. Some of you say, I know you better than that. You're older than that. No, my soul was born again. Right over there. I'd like to take you on a tour. Some of the tour I wouldn't want to show you because some of it's real ugly. But there's parts that I'd like to show you. I wish you could have been there that night when the Lord met me right over there. Wish you could have been there. Some of you were. Some of you remember. The things, though, that led up to that, all we like sheep have gone astray. You see, we need God desperately. But in my youth, I felt like I didn't. I'd come to the place that I wanted to do life my way. I wanted to go after my own ambitions. But the Lord in His mercy brought me to a place where I felt my desperate need. And you may try to avoid that and try to say, no, I always want to feel self-sufficient. But I want to tell you, the best place for you to come is to feel your need. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Because you won't know your need until you feel your poorness. The Lord brought me to that place. Desperation. Here at Monarch, sad to say, that year, first part of that meeting, this part of that meeting, 1978 or 79, I was bent on doing things that were wrong, ungodly. That was where my heart was. I got involved in some of that activity. Part of the tour I could take you on would be some places right around this campground. One place where I went to hide to do some of my wrong was down this way. I want to tell you there's also a creek down there. After I met the Lord, I went right back down in the same area and got baptized. Part of the tour. Part of the tour I don't need everybody to know. But there's part of it I really want you to know. I came up here thinking that my indulgence in sin would give a certain amount of satisfaction. But I always found it was hollow, short-lived, and always left behind more pain than what I had gotten pleasure. And the guilt. I was young and trying to find ways to... So I guess fill a hole that was there. And I want to tell you here today, if you don't know the Lord, you've got a hole. You've got a hole that only God can fill. You've got a need. And it's my prayer that during this meeting that you will recognize and acknowledge that deep need in your soul. That's my prayer. I have been praying for you. I may not know who I'm talking to right now, but I've been praying for you prior to this meeting that the Lord would get hold of souls in this camp meeting. Because I want you to feel your need. Because I know how good it is when you bring that to the Lord. It's very important. This is one of the things that God wants you to know. He wants you to know your need. It's a desperate thing. But after He lets you know your need, I want you also to know there's, He doesn't leave you in the despair of your need. He doesn't do it. Another part of that tour, there was an older minister, Brother Mark Sammons, was standing up here that night. I was back in that corner.
really wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to the service. I always did like singing, so I enjoyed the singing. And I sang right along with everyone. I wasn't paying a lot of attention to the message, but I do know this much. Brother Samuels was preaching about a no-so salvation. And something about that began to ring in my heart. Because I was tired of a sham. I was tired of fake. I want to tell you, young people, or whoever might be here this afternoon, if you're tired of a sham, if you're tired of faking it, there's something real. You can get rid of the fake, and you can come get the real. If you mean it with all your heart. And as the services came to a close and Brother Salmon sat down, the altar call was given. I thought it was a good time to go back and get a drink of water. But then I had this feeling that if you weren't kind of a twisted way of thinking, I say it in my words, if you wasn't man enough to take conviction, you wasn't man enough to be here. And so I was going to come back and stand and just bear it. But on my way back to services, there was a man who had been my friend. And he'd been praying for me. And he met me. He saw me coming back. And he came up to me and he said, "Ivan, what about tonight?" And I said, "Oh, you don't even know me." There was a lot of stuff hidden down inside me. And then that tour left that right behind that pillar over there where he was talking to me. He said, Would you be willing to talk about it?" I said, "Yes." And we walked from there right over to here, just beyond about where that car is parked over there. He had a van parked there that night, and we got in his van. And as he started talking, and I started revealing some things to him, some of what was inside me. And as we talked for some time over there. At first in the conversation, I could hear him kind of whispering under his breath. But as the conversation went on, they weren't whispers any longer. It was like a groan would come. And he said, "Oh, Lord, help Ivan." He was praying for me out loud. And I remember in the course of that, there came a time. It was about 11 o'clock now. No, I'm really... I have... Thank you. I'm like you. I get tired sometimes of long services, but I'm glad the services went long that night. About 11 o'clock that night, brother that was with me in that van, he said, "Ivan, the altar's still open." And I remember my hand slipping down there and reaching hold of the handle of that van door. And I opened it, but I really can't recall what happened between there and that altar. Some said I ran. I can't argue with them because I don't know. I honestly don't remember. But I remember I was desperate when I hit that altar. And I know there's a God who says He won't turn away any who come to Him like that. You see, the Lord desperately wanted me to know that I was a sinner in need of help. And He brought me to that place. Thank God for a God of love. That is love. But He didn't leave me in the knowledge of my despair. When I came over there that night, and I began to pour. There's a story in that. I won't go through all of it. But I want to tell you the tour.
right over there that night when they began to pray for my unbelief, and the Lord came so very real to me. I wasn't even conscious that they were still praying for me. Typically, it's courteous to go ahead and stay there until they're through praying. I got up. I stood up. The work was done. I stood up. I remember one of the brothers that had his hand on my back praying. I remember the look, because I was standing up, and I saw his eyes looking. And it was concern, like what's happening. And then I saw the smile come across his face, because he was looking at a new baby, and he knew it. There's salvation in Christ. It's something real, folks. It's not a fake. It happens inside the heart. And I knelt down at that altar, a young man completely weighted down with sin, knowing I was in desperate need, full of hate, full of anger. And I want to tell you, I came up a light young man. And there was a song began to flood through my heart. See, the devil tried to say, you've tried to do this before, and you've always failed. And he said, I'm going to get you again. And a song came flooding through my heart and said, I mean to go right on until the crown's won. And during the altar call, we interrupted it. I asked them, can we sing that song? And they sang it for me that night in the middle of an altar call. That doesn't sound like an altar call song, does it? Sounds like a triumphant song. And it was. It still is. And I still mean it. It's part of the tour. It didn't end right there. Oh, there's a lot more. And I won't have time to go through it all. But these are important things that God wants to get across to you today. He wants us to know our need. And along with that need, He wants us to know there's hope. It's really important, for God wants you to know. He wanted you to know so much that He sent His only Son to the cross to die in the midst of total rejection. Not only rejection, but hateful rejection. And He, in the midst of all that, looked at those who hated Him and said, Father, forgive them. They don't understand. They know not. That is love. God wanted you to know so strongly, so much He wanted you to know, that He Himself sent His Son to demonstrate His love to mankind. And the greatest way that could be done. Don't you know God really wanted you to know, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I want to encourage you today that when, I know I may be talking to a crowd that's mostly saved, but perhaps in a crowd this size, there's some that's in trouble in your soul. And I want you to know that this morning, if you come to the Lord and you're willing to give up all and give yourself to Him, the Lord's able to take the old man and crucify, get rid of it. The old man's gone, and within that state where you are today, there's able the Lord to bring a new life in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. And if you come to the Lord, I want you to expect a newness of life. I have a difficulty receiving somebody's testimony if they claim that they've gotten saved and there's no change in their lives. Because if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things become new. But let's go on a little bit more. One of the things that the devil tried to tell me is that it won't last. And he tried to tell me when I got home. We left Monarch. It was the first weekend of the Monarch camp meeting that I got saved. That's when it happened. No, it wasn't.
Sorry. It was actually Wednesday of the morning. And then we went home and came back for the last Sunday. That's what it was. Or the last weekend. I went home, and in that interim, it seemed like the devil just unloaded. He wanted to utterly destroy me. Of course he does. He wants to do you that way still today. He hates you. Devil doesn't like you. He wants to destroy all. Well, I got home and I felt like I hit the overwhelming flood. And inside me, let me take you on a little bit more of the tour. I didn't want to give up what I had. I had something. Oh, it meant something to me. The Lord had changed me. And the devil said, "See, I about got you." And I said, "You don't yet. I mean to go on. I don't know how I'm going to go on, but I mean to." And I remember walking. We live out there in the country. I began to walk out in the pasture. Down out there, probably a quarter mile or so out there in the pasture. I came behind an old pond dam. And I felt just crushed. The weight was so heavy, I almost just fell down there behind that pond dam. And I began to cry out to the Lord. Do you know, do you believe today the Lord's able to keep you? I hope that's more than the word, yes. I hope it sinks down in your heart as a reality. The Lord confirmed it to me that day, that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. He's able to. He's abundantly able. I fell behind that pond dam, waited, not knowing how to walk on. And I began to pour out my heart to the Lord. And He came there almost like a person. I didn't see Him. And I don't believe these ears really heard Him, but there was a communication going on. The tears began to flow. First, the tears are flowing out of desperation. And the tears continue to flow, but it wasn't out of desperation, but relief. But love, there was a communication began to go on. Oh, I sat there in His arms like a newborn baby dandled on His mother's knees. It was wonderful. It was precious. He utterly convinced me that evening that He was able to keep. And God wants you to know that in the depths of your heart here. Another very important thing for you to know. God's able to keep. He's able to keep. He's able to keep that I've committed to Him. That's an important thing too, committed to Him. And as I sat there and talked with Him, I was talking like I'm talking with you. You know, a lot of times we pray, we're on our knees, and we go through, you know, it's a kind of little different sound. But I was sitting up with my eyes wide open talking with Him. I was talking with Him. He was talking with me. And as I began to just unburden and tell Him He knew how I was feeling anyway, and I just came out. I understand, child. I'm here. And I can't tell you everything He said because we talked for some time. And the sun began to go down. And I told Him, I said, "You know, my parents are going to wonder where I am." I was still a young man at home. They didn't know where I disappeared to. So they're going to wonder where I am. I said, "I'm going to need to go back, but I don't want to. I want to be right here with you." He said, "I'll walk with you." That's what He said. He said, "I'll walk with you." Well, I don't know what you think of this, but I'm just telling you, this is the conversation I had with God. He's real. He's real. He's able to keep. As I got up and walked, I know He's a spirit and He doesn't need space to walk. But there was a time where the path kind of got a little narrow and I stood over to the side so He could walk right there. He didn't need that, I know. But that's how it was real.
And we talked and talked, and I got up there behind the dairy barn, and he told me, this is as far as I can go with you. I'll still be with you, but this is as far as this is going to be. But I'll still be with you. Let me tell you what that experience did. It pumped me so full of confidence in Him. I knew that He was able to keep. I knew it. And I wish somehow I could convey that to every one of you. Young people, when you go through your difficulties of life, when it feels like you have faced an overwhelming flood, please understand there's a God who knows and cares. And He wants you to know that. And if you'll come to Him and you'll commit to Him, if you come in your desperation, you come to Him seeking Him with all your heart, He's able. He's able to convince you that He is real and He's a God that cares and loves you. And He knows the feelings of your infirmities. He understands. And nobody can do that like our Heavenly Father. That's part of the tour. It's a tour of my life. And it didn't stop there. It's continued. Step after step after step. In my walk with the Lord after that, I was a baby. Just taking my first stumbling steps. Toddler. Ignorant. And I thought I grew to the point, I thought maybe I began to think maybe I knew something. And now I'm older in the Lord and I'm convinced I don't. Because as you walk with the Lord and you begin to learn more about Him, the more you realize that I'm just a child. And I desperately need Him. And I'm glad the Lord is able to keep me even through my young and teenage years, maybe where I began to think I was sufficient. The Lord taught me I wasn't. One time I thought that if I prayed hard enough, that the Lord would give me what I wanted. I have had some scriptures that, you know, anything in my name, it's going to happen. That's a good scripture. But you know, the devil can take that and try to twist it to damage you spiritually. I began to try to think I could use that scripture in a carnal way. I didn't realize it was carnal at the time. It was honestly, I was thinking, this is good. This is we're going to use this. And even to my mind, to the glory of God. I'm going to have a testimony out of this one. I was out in the pasture. Had an old pickup that battery wasn't too good. And the pickup died quite a ways away from home. Out in the pasture, and it was hot, and I didn't want to have to walk home. And I said, I'm going to pray, and the Lord's going to make this thing start. And I prayed earnestly with all my heart, and it never started. And I prayed again, and it never started. And at that moment, I was disappointed. I thought God had let me down. God was taking a teenager and teaching him that there's more to trust, and there's more to this than just me thinking I get my way. The Lord is teaching me there's a place of trust. Has the Lord taught you that yet? Perhaps if He hasn't, look for it, He will. I imagine He has already. But then I got on in the tour where I'd walked with the Lord for some time. And I guess in my mind I thought I had kind of reached a certain level of maturity and kind of a plateau. Hard to admit it, but I don't think I really committed to myself at that point. But looking back, I feel like that I must have convinced myself that I had kind of arrived at a certain place. It's good to grow in the Lord and feel some security in the, but it's not good to feel self-sufficient. Well, I came to that place and then you feel a little stagnant. Oh, this is a trap of the devil. Get you to play. And I began to feel that, well, I guess I've made it. Oh, I had a long ways to go. I still do. That's one of the wonderful things about the Lord is you can grow forever in the Lord.
It's wonderful to learn, wonderful to seek Him with all of your heart and have Him teach you His ways. Well, the Lord was unwilling to leave me in that place. So He brought me to a place, another time of desperation. God wants us to know. It's a blessed thing for us to know our need. He wants us to know. We need to know. So the Lord again brought me to a place where He humbled me down, all the way down. And that's good. Part of the tour from that, I thought there's a possibility that some of my family would lose their life in the situation that He brought me to. It seemed pretty desperate to me. And when I was working with the Lord in that matter, I came to the point that I felt like I was in my garden of Gethsemane. It was a very difficult place that didn't know what to do. And there was other outlets that seemed to present itself to my mind, other paths that would have been lots easier on the flesh. But it came to the point, the Lord let me see clearly the path He wanted me to take. And I remember the moment on my knees with fear and dread and desperation, where I finally just crumbled and said, "Amen, Lord, not my will, but Thine be done." I want to tell you, that's the most precious place you can be in. Because at that moment, it was like the angels came and ministered to me. It was precious. I didn't know what the future held. Had no way of knowing. And still, there was a specter that things could turn out very badly at that moment. But I knew at that moment, it was all in the hands of a God that cared. It was precious, folks. He's real and He's able to keep. He's able. In all these places of our life that we go through, whether before we're saved, He brings us to the knowledge of needing it. And after we're saved, as we walk with the Lord, He's able and He desires to reveal Himself to us in a much greater measure. Where we begin to understand, we begin to see Him in a fuller light than we'd ever seen before. And He wants to perfect that concerns us. He wants to strengthen and settle you and I in Christ. That's what God wants to do with us, His children. After we begin to walk with Him, His desire is to lead us in a plain path. Well, our time's got lots farther than I expected it to. Over in Timothy, maybe Timothy 6 and 20, 1 Timothy. Pick one up real quick, and it won't be much longer. 1 Timothy 6 and 20. Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed into thy trust. It goes on and says more. But God's able to keep you, but we've got our part too. And I put your name in there this afternoon. Oh, child of God, keep that the Lord has committed to you. Keep that which is committed to thy trust. The Lord's looking at you, and He's able and willing to keep you. Our part is to keep ourselves entrusted in His hands. Oh, Timothy. Oh, child of God. Here today. Look over there, Brother Leland. I remember after he got saved, one time I emailed him and he said, "It reminded me when I saw your face. It reminded me." I emailed him back and I said, "I'm glad to hear you got saved. I want you to know you're gonna meet the devil. He's gonna contest you." Isn't that true? He does it to all of us. He emailed back and he said, "I've already met him." But he said, "I purposed in my heart that if I fall," he said, "I'm gonna fall forward and start crawling." When I read that, I said, "Gonna make it.
God help us each one to have that purpose in our heart. You may, and you will go probably go through some difficult places. But oh Timothy, oh child of God, keep that's been committed to you. Keep it with all of your heart. And if you come to a place that you stumble, that doesn't mean you have to be crushed to death. You purpose to keep moving. I'm a little low right now, but Lord, I'm aiming. I'm going on. I mean to go right on till I get that crown won. I mean to fight the fight of faith till life on earth's done. Oh, Timothy, keep. And then there's the one that I've already quoted. He is able to keep that I've committed. That's 2 Timothy 1. I believe. Twelve. For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Not ashamed, for I know of whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day, holding fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwells in you, in us. But he said, Paul had come to the place and the experiences of his life. He's talking to another young man and said, I'm persuaded that he's able. And I know I'm not old, and I've only lived saved since 1979. And to some of you, that might be quite a while, but it's really not long at all. But my experience is I can clearly, strongly tell you today that I'm persuaded that he's able to keep you. He's able to keep me. And God wants you to know that very strongly today. He wants you to know that he's able to keep you. The devil would like to come and plant doubts in your mind and say that you tried it over and over and over and you failed and failed and failed. And the devil will try to get you to the point that you say, well, I guess I'm just lost and I'll never make it. That's the devil. He's been lying for a long time. But what's in the Scripture and what is a fact is that God is able to keep that is committed unto him. Paul said it very strongly. He said, I'm persuaded. And let me say it right along with him. Me too. I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that I've committed unto him against that day. May the Lord encourage you this afternoon. May the Lord help us each one. Do you know the Lord wants to create a tour for you? He wants you to have a story. He wants to lead you step by step. He wants to bring you through the waters. That's another time. Oh, there's more to this. Oh, a time I was getting ready to go to school and it felt like that there's no way I could go anymore. And I got that scripture. When thou passest through the water, I'll be with you. Fire's not going to burn you. Oh, that's over there in Isaiah 43 and more. Oh, folks, I want to tell you, there is a God who loves you. He loves you enough to tell us when we're wrong. God who loves us enough to convince us of our need. A God who loves us enough to tell us, I've got help for you. I'm able to save you to the uttermost. And then a God who loves us enough to say, child, if you give me your all, I can keep you. In this present evil world, pray for me.